Welcome to the 51% Podcast. Hello, I'm Rachel New, a writer, broadcaster, and most importantly, woman. I worked with Improving Me, that's the Women's Health and Maternity Programme for NHS Cheshire and Merseyside, to develop the 51%, a series of writing workshops that are both therapeutic and joyful. Run over 6 weekly sessions in a safe and supportive space, a group of women come together and use poetry, prose and free writing to explore their thoughts and feelings around all stages of their reproductive life, from menstruation to menopause and all the stops along the way. In this short podcast series, I'll be chatting to some of the women who took part and hearing a selection of the beautiful work they produced. In this episode, I'm talking to Zoe, a self-identified witch and crochet fanatic. In her late 30s, Zoe isn't sure whether she wants to have children or not, which we'll come to. But first, I wanted to know why she signed up for the 6-week programme.
Ooh, interesting question. Always I've been somewhere in my creative journey, and I think I was just looking for a way to explore writing. I'd done a little bit of writing before in the past. It's something that I need a little bit of motivation to do. I really enjoyed it. It's actually inspired me to keep writing as well.
Which is great. It's great to hear. What was the process and the experience like of being part of the workshops?
I wasn't sure what to expect. I kind of just knew it was about women's health and it was writing, it was talking and stuff. And what I found was that it was all of that and it was more. The process, I felt, really got me to kind of open up. We explored the topics that I've just mentioned around women's health and so on, but we explored a little bit more and I felt like it got me to go a little bit deeper into myself and sort of start to think about things that maybe I hadn't thought about for a while.
Things like what, Zoe?
Just like, I guess, where I'm at in my life, what I want my life to look like. I'm a very happy person on the surface, and I think it got me to kind of think about, is that a front? Is that something that I genuinely embody? Is that, what does that happiness look like for me? What's important to me in terms of my creativity, and what does that look like? And kind of where I'm stopping myself as well. Like, because sometimes I do stop myself from being creative because I don't feel like my creativity is like practical enough. So that was something that I kind of had to reckon with as part of the workshops.
So let's talk about what you chose to write about in the workshops. You know, we have different subjects over the weeks and different kind of writing tools and writing prompts. What did you find yourself drawn to?
I think mental health has always been a topic of mine, and I didn't really explicitly talk about it, but it's always something that I've had periods of mental ill health throughout my life, and I've had periods where I've been, you know, okay and better and good and happy and whatever that looks like for me, kind of thing. So I think I did touch on that. I think a big part of my life is being creative, so I think I wrote about that. Yeah, it was actually less about health than I anticipated. It's more around everything else in my life.
But, you know, you mentioned mental health, and of course that is health, you know, and so to be able to write about those things that matter to you and explore those. Now, I know that in the workshops, we are talking about being a woman and the women's health and basically everything that comes from having a womb. And, you know, we start in the workshops by talking about our experiences of beginning our periods. I think that, like so many things in life, if we don't talk about it, for some reason, our default position is that we must be the only person experiencing it. When if you stop and take a moment and know that every single peer of yours will have been going through it, it's not just nice to be able to sort of share it. Actually, I think ripples beyond into the rest of your life, that you're not kind of carrying this maybe shameful experience or this thing you don't really feel like very comfortable with or you can understand.
Yeah, I was about to say, there's a lot of shame surrounding periods, isn't it? It's like that first moment you get that bleed on the back of your skirt or whatever, and you're like, there's someone in high school pointing at you going, ah, look at you, kind of thing. we have all of these kind of connotations, and it's so sad that that's the way that we view it. I remember being a teenager back in the early 2000s, and they couldn't, I know, and I'm so glad this has changed now, but they couldn't show blood on a advert for a menstrual product. It was that weird blue water.
Always blue water.
Always blue water. Like, I'm sorry, I'm not bleeding blue water. And the other thing is, right, why is every young woman on her period wants to go swimming, wants to be ridiculously active? Absolutely, be as active as you feel like you need to be. But I do feel like our society has this viewpoint that, like, you have to continue no matter what. I'm like, with all due respect, I'm bleeding, I'm bloated, I feel like I could punch someone in the face. My tolerance level for anything,
Anything.
for anything, yeah, for anything. It's just not, it's not there. I have no patience whatsoever. Our society kind of expects us to just put everything to the side and continue going like it's nothing. And I'm just like, no. Our bodies are going through it. Our emotions are going through it. Our minds are going through it. For that week, I will work, I will do the bare minimum, and that's it.
Can I chat to you about the group of women? So obviously we were 6 weeks and we became a close group, I think. What aspects of the group helped you or surprised you?
I think it was awesome that we were all so different. We had different ethnicities, like within the group. We had different ages, different backgrounds. We had women with children, women without, women like myself who's like wondering whether or not I want to have kids, women who've like gone through the whole process and went now like had gone through the menopause or were going through it. Everyone was different. And I thought that was really awesome because it meant that we all had a different experience to share and a different perspective. Like when you're going through something difficult, you do tend to think that you're the only one. So to hear, even if it's not exactly the same, to hear something similar echoed in the words of another person or in the experience and the lives and stories of other people, I think is really important. And I don't think we get enough opportunity to do that in our modern society.
Yeah, I agree. There was some sort of soul searching going on, I think. And I think one of the things that was going on for you was this kind of choice about whether or not to have kids. There were some other women in the workshop who'd maybe left having kids late, too late to have kids, or were now finding it maybe difficult to do that. I wondered how you're feeling. I know it's a big thing to ask, but I wonder how you're feeling about that question now.
It was interesting to hear other people's experiences. I can't say that I'm any closer to actually answering the question. I don't think I'm unique in having this question, especially not these days with life being what it is and cost of living and all of the rest of it. And I think it was worthwhile for me having the space to explore it within the writing workshops and hearing other people's experience. But yeah, like I said, I don't feel like I'm any closer to answering it. It's a tricky one, isn't it?
Got to be the biggest choice. I was going to say the biggest choice a human faces, but I feel like the biggest choice a woman faces because we know that A, we're going to have to carry the baby and do the very early nurture, that career impact, that financial impact that you might carry as a couple, but ultimately, if you're the one that suddenly had got the reduced income, you feel responsible. And as a woman with the classic ticking clock that you have, which again a man doesn't have. So I wish you all the best of luck with that. Let's talk a little bit about the writing. I think with these writing workshops, I want them to be what each woman needs them to be. And some women want lots of writing and lots of writing techniques and want to learn more about creative writing, and some women want to explore their feelings more, and some people are a mix in the middle. But I use lots of different techniques to give everyone the opportunity to explore writing. What was that process like for you, the sort of creative writing aspects of it?
I did find some techniques easier than others. Like, what did I find really challenging? Oh, the acrostic poem, you know, where you take a word and.
The acrostic poem is where you take a word and you write it sort of down your margin on the left-hand side, and then each line of that poem begins with the letter from that word. So if it was period, the first line begins with a P and the next line begins with an E. So just so that everybody knows. And actually, it's interesting if you found that challenging because I used that early on because it's a very simple format to explain to people.
Simple format challenge to fit into. So that one was quite a challenging kind of technique for me. But then there were others that kind of came more easily, free writing.
Some people really like the constraints of a task. You know, this is the task. So the acrostic poem is you pick a word, you know, you write it down the side, blah, blah, blah. That's how it goes. You know, there's no flexibility in that. And then free writing is the absolute opposite end of the scale in the sense that I'm going to set a timer for 5 minutes. The only rule is that you have to start writing immediately and you can't stop till the timer stops. And that, I think, worked for you.
Yeah, that definitely did. I think I've had periods in my life as well where I've done that first thing in the morning and I've just given myself like 3 pages and I have to write just stream of consciousness, whatever's coming out of my mind, of my pen, and fill 3 pages. And I found once that pen hits the page, that's it. I'm off. And I do find that really therapeutic, really cathartic, because my thoughts have a tendency to pinball around my head, you know, like bouncy balls. Like I can drive myself mad overthinking. So sometimes it's nice to just get it all out on paper. And it's almost like I've given whatever I've been thinking about, whatever I've been mulling over, permission to rest. And I can give my mind that space to process without overthinking whatever it is.
Can we hear something that you wrote in the workshops and tell us maybe a little bit about it?
So the first, what was the prompt for week 3? I feel like it might have been around like self-image, how we view ourselves.
Identity.
That was it. That was it. Yes, identity. So off the back of that prompt, I wrote a poem called The Black Butterfly. Butterflies are one of my favorite animals. They represent transformation. If anyone does struggle with mental ill health, particularly with self-injury and self-harm, the Butterfly Project's a really good project to look up because they help to support people struggling with that, to help them move past it. And this is something that I've dealt with in the past, particularly as a teenager, as a young woman. It doesn't talk about it explicitly, but that's what kind of inspired this poem in particular. The Black Butterfly. A symbol of death, a symbol of pain, a symbol of beauty, blood, and rage. A constant becoming, unfurling begins, a cracking cocoon, the darkness within. Absorbing the world, transmuting, transforming, changing within, the eye of the storm. All that you see is not all that I am. No matter the shape of my black butterfly wings, the foundation I stand on is the soul within.
Thank you, Zoe. I love that. And I think identity is a very important topic, again, for us as women, because I think we're kind of funneled down this identity route. You know, we're supposed to be good, we're supposed to be helpful, we're supposed to be kind. That all starts really, really early. And then when you find aspects of your identity that aren't that, what does that say about you? And I'd be interested to talk to you a little bit more about identity. And so you talked about being a witch, and I think that's an important part of your identity. And in that poem, which is beautiful, you talked about another time that was part of your young womanhood. How comfortable are you in your identity now, and what is it?
I think I'm very comfortable in who I am. And I think it's because I've undergone that process of kind of letting go of those labels. So, for a very long time, I put a lot of pressure on myself to, like you said, we kind of get given roles within our life, you know, daughter, sister, good, kind, dutiful, obedient. And we also give ourselves labels like creative, or like I say, I'm a self-identified witch. We define ourselves and we are defined by others. I went through a process, this was a few years back, but I kind of started answering, you know, that little voice in the back of your head that kind of critiques you all the time when you want to do something. And I'm not saying It's always a bad thing, but a lot of the time we kind of stop ourselves from doing something because we've got this little voice in the back of our head saying, "Oh, why would you want to do that?" You know, and sometimes it's things that you heard or that you learned a long, long time ago. Sometimes we can internalize those voices and we forget that that voice was the voice of the school bully, or that voice was the voice of someone who says, "Oh, you shouldn't stand out too much because it's not safe," kind of thing. And you forget that it's not actually your voice. And I think I went through this process of kind of starting to answer that voice back and go, "Well, hang on a minute. Where did that come from? Where did that belief come from? Why can't I do this?" At some point, my mind just went, "All of these negative thoughts in my head, why the heck am I holding on to them?" And I had to let go of all of that. And once I, you know, once I cried it all out and I'd kind of had that moment of realization, it was like calm. And I was like, "Well, if none of that actually matters, then I get to say who I am." And it
Wow.
was just such a powerful moment. And I think that's why I can feel so kind of grounded in myself. And even though I'm questioning things around my life choices, ultimately, I'm happy with whatever outcome.
So let's hear something else that you wrote during the workshops.
Let me find it. My purple notepad that you gave me has now become a mass of notes, of pictures, of all sorts.
Oh, I'm very glad. I like to give everybody a book at the beginning of the. Well, I like to let everyone choose their color. Purple's my favorite color. I definitely would have chosen purple as well. Yeah, and then obviously have a place to put it all down. So I'm glad that beyond the workshops, yours is continuing to live and breathe.
It is absolutely. Let me just flick through my pages. I've got it. I've got it. Okay. This poem's called Our Bodies, Our Lives. It was kind of inspired by a couple of things, the title. There is like a women's health manual. I want to say it's something like Our Bodies, Our Choices, something like that, that has a lot of information that is typically missed out of medical textbooks and that women aren't told about around reproductive health especially, but just women's health in general. And then the other thing is that, do you know the poet Holly McNish?
I do.
Yes, her poem Wow.
Yeah.
I absolutely love that poem. In it, she talks about her little girl who's like looking at her body and looking at how amazing it is. You know, it's this idea that our bodies are a living, breathing embodiment of the lives that we live. I mean, I don't know about you, but I am absolutely hating this return that we're seeing of diet culture, the very, very kind of skinny look that was popular or that was expected in the early 2000s and late 90s. That seems to be really, really becoming a strong focus on social media. And I implore anyone listening to this podcast now, just ignore it. Absolutely ignore it. It's the control of women through the control of women's bodies, through diet and through exercise, and diverting our attention from what's really, really important, which is the fact that our rights are being stripped back. This poem was pretty much inspired by that thought and by that resistance. So it's called Our Bodies, Our Lives. Skin-like pages of a book told that we should turn back time with dyes and filler, nips and tuck. Told we should be thin with big boobs and snatched in waist. Please, I've heard it all before. Told no matter what, don't gain weight. But so what if I have curls and curves? I jiggle and take up space. We can't fight for our rights if we're starving. Fake smiles painted on our face. So throw out all the diet books. Eat for goodness sake. Move your body, lift weights, but do it from a place of love, of kindness, not of hate. Learn to see your beauty in the lines upon your skin. Your grey hairs are wisdom streaks. True beauty shines from within. Stand tall and understand that you are not the clothes you wear. You are not your insecurities. Ignore naysayers if they point or if they stop and stare. Drink water, clear your head, throw your social media out, or at least turn down the noise so it's not feeding your doubt. Find value in your skills, your abilities, and talents. Whatever it is that you do, do it with passion. Celebrate yourself and the people in your life. Your life is your book, and it's your own story that you write.
Thank you, Zoe. That's fantastic. Keep on writing, keep on exploring who you are and your place in the world. I like the idea in your poem that how can we fight for our rights if we're starving? So, keep feeding yourself in every way possible, including with the creativity.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
Thanks to Improving Me for making the 51% writing workshops possible, and to Liverpool Central Library for giving us space to work. And of course, thank you for listening.